Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we continue our verse by verse study through the book of Psalms. We come today to Psalm 26. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 26. We begin our study in verse 1. This is a psalm of David. And he says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." David stood for what was right. His conscience is right. He's got a clear conscience, which is why he has the spiritual boldness to appeal to God on his behalf. You know, nothing is better for an upright person than for them to know that God knows that they are upright. That's just a real catalyst for boldness in prayer and also joy in general in life. And it comes from not having any unconfessed sins in your life or any sins that you have not repented of. 2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." You know, anyone who would open themselves up to God like this and says, "Examine me, Lord. Show me if there's something that I'm doing that you want me to stop doing. Show me if there's something that I'm not doing that you want me to start doing." Anybody who's willing to do that, I would say, must really have a heart for God. David certainly did. 3, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." He says, "Your loving kindness, God, is before my eyes, and I've walked in your truth." Keeping the loving kindness of God in mind will help us to restrain sin. The Bible says that the love of God, or the goodness of God, leads us to repentance. So, keeping the loving kindness of God in mind will help restrain sin. It even works better than God's law. As a matter of fact, the New Testament teaches that the law sometimes tempts people to sin. God's loving kindness, though, has a much more powerful and yet gentle restraining influence in the life of a genuine Christian. Verse 4, "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked." You know, a man is known by the company that he keeps. And David did not hang out with people who loved their sin. Now, sometimes I've heard evangelicals say, you know, we have to get down on the level of sinners in order to witness to them, in order to be a testimony to them. Well, I would say you cannot witness to an evil person if you're down on their moral level. You say, "I'm not talking about moral level." Well, you know, it depends how you define moral. I'm all for building relationships with the unsaved and talking to them and being kind to them and all that stuff. But at some particular point, you have to be different and you have to speak the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's never going to be a cool message in the eyes of the world. Let's go to verse 6. I guess there's more I could say on that, but I better move along. "I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass your altar, O Lord." First he'd wash his hands in innocency. Then he would go to the altar. David tried very hard to live for God. And at this particular point, he was walking with the Lord as far as he knew. And that prepared him for the altar. See? That prepared him for worship at God's altar. Church is a miserable experience for those who have not repented. It is an enjoyable act of worship for those who have. As long as that church is preaching the Word of God, of course. Verse 7. "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works." Oh boy, David loved to tell God's stories. People who are on fire for the Green Bay Packers around this area love to talk about Green Bay. That's why we have That's why we have a three-hour pregame show and a three-hour postgame show after every Packer game, even preseason. So nobody thinks that's unusual, right? And people who are on fire for some NASCAR driver, well, they like to talk about their driver and whether he drives a Dodge or a Chevy. And people who are on fire for Christ like to talk about Christ. I mean, it's the most natural thing in the world. It's an indicator, isn't it? Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your honor dwells. I love the habitation of your house. Of course, there is no house of the Lord like there was in the Old Testament with the temple where the glory of God literally dwelt. There's none of that today. The church, though, is where Christians meet to worship and hear the word of God. And Christians, real Christians, like to attend if, again, they're getting the word of God. I wouldn't go near a church that called itself evangelical or fundamental or anything else that wasn't teaching the pure word of God. I'd stay home, watch Face the Nation, if that's still on, I don't know, this week with whoever it is nowadays. Anyway, we move on. Verse 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. In other words, when the time comes for you to harvest my soul, God, harvest it like fruit. Don't put my soul in the same basket as the wicked. And he won't. I mean, in fact, one of the things that will make eternity great is that no rotten, impenitent sinners who don't give a rip about God will be there. Sin will be a distant memory for the redeemed. 10. In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. People who bribe to get what they want really should step back and remember that they're not going to be able to bribe God to keep them out of hell. So why bribe? You're going to have to stop sooner or later. Why don't you live in reality? You're not going to be able to bribe God to keep you out of hell for all those bribes that you paid off to others or for any other sins that you might have committed. People like that would be further ahead if they would just quit bribing and start using their energy to get right with God through Jesus Christ while they still have the opportunity. That makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? 11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. David doesn't care what anybody else does. He says, as for me, I'm going to do what's right. David is kind of a rebel, isn't he? He's kind of a rebel for God. He does not conform to the attitude of the world. In that sense, he's a rebel. And if he must stand for God by himself, well, then that's what he's going to do. He makes that clear. So it should be. Verse 12. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. The even place speaks of confidence and security. Whether it's good times or bad times, life or death, doesn't matter. A child of God can have the quiet confidence that all is well when they are right with God through Jesus Christ. Let's go into Psalm 27, another Psalm of David, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You want a holy boldness to do what is right and have a strong relationship with Christ. When you know in your knower that you are right with Almighty God, you're going to be bold when you need to be bold. Verse 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. He had enemies, even wicked people. They were his enemies because he was godly. Don't worry if the wicked hate you because you are godly. Don't worry about that. That's really not strange. In fact, I will say this. If you must choose, and I guess we always have to make this choice, but if you must choose, choose to be disliked by the wicked because you're good, rather than to be liked by the wicked because you are bad. Look at verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And he's talking about it in the future tense. He's anticipating trouble. He's anticipating a battle. And you know, anticipating a battle is more frightening than being in a battle. When I was little, I used to just dread going to the dentist, but he never froze anything. Ah, you know what that's like. The old dentist drill is just painful as could be. I can remember sitting in that dentist office, begging my ma to take me to get a haircut instead of letting me go to this dentist. And I never wanted a haircut either, as you can see, even back when I was little. But it was the in the case of the dentist, though, the actual pain was as bad as the anticipation. But a lot of times, a problem that we anticipate or a challenge that we anticipate, the anticipation is worse than being in the actual situation. It's more frightening. But David says, when an army is encamped against me, in other words, when I'm anticipating an attack, when I'm anticipating a battle, I'm not afraid. He's not afraid because he was right with God and he was focused on God, and that gave him peace. Verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That kind of reminds me of something the Apostle Paul would say, very focused. One thing I've desired of the Lord, to be in the house of the Lord forever. It doesn't mean to be sitting in church all day. It means to be walking with the Lord. But his desires were not divided, they were focused. When our desires are divided, we'll probably be weak in whatever we do. But when we are focused, especially when we are focused on God and our greatest desire is to please God, that's when we will be close to God, and that's when we will be a strong man of God or a woman of God like David. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Boy, if God is your top priority, like David just said that God was his top priority, then you're going to have your best friend with you at all times. And he will be there when nobody else can be there. And he will get you through whatever you must get through, too, if God is your top priority. That's the key. Verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David's God confidence. Notice what he's saying. I will sing praises unto the Lord. David's God confidence was so high that he was already planning on how he was going to thank God for the things that he's going to do in the future. That's what you call faith. And that comes from being close to the Lord. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. David was only concerned about one person hearing his prayer, and that was God. And that's why he said, hear, O Lord. Hear, O Lord, my prayer. You say, wasn't that obvious? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? That's the way it's supposed to be. But why is it that some people are nervous when they pray in front of people? I don't know. Could it be that sometimes we're worried about what other people will think about what we're praying? And if that's the case, I would say that the prayer's focus is really on the wrong thing. It should be on God. You know, David was concerned about one person hearing his prayer, and that was God. And that was, of course, the exact opposite of the Pharisees, who Jesus said prayed to be heard by people. You know, their prayers turned out to be big religious productions to draw attention to themselves. I don't care, really, what people think about my prayers. Who cares? I'm not talking to them anyway. All they're doing is eavesdropping. I'm talking to God. And he doesn't care if we mess up on our words. Thank the Lord. Verse 8. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I seek. God wants us to seek him. Seek him hard. Because he wants to be known. He wants us to know him and to know about him. He doesn't hide himself from anyone. He wants everybody to seek his face, as it were. And he will reveal himself to anyone who puts forth the effort. He's not playing hide and seek with anyone. Verse 10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. at some point, even a godly father and mother has to say, it's time to grow up. You know, you're on your own. You got to make your own choices. And you're going to learn some things the hard way, just like everyone else. So when you fall, get back up and try again. But thankfully, God the Father is always with us. Even when we're on our own, He's with us. 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. Teach me your way, is what David said. Good example to follow, I would say. He doesn't pray to have his own way. He prays and he asks God to teach him the way that God wants him to go. He's more concerned about what God wants for him than what he wants for him. David was not perfect. We all know that about David. But he had an obedient heart, and he had a teachable spirit. And really, when it comes right down to it, that's really the only thing that we can offer God. 12. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He's talking about slander. Being slandered. Slander is such a hideous sin. You know who the slanderer is, don't you? Satan. Slander is one of the oldest weapons in the devil's arsenal. He used it in the Garden of Eden when he was tempting Eve. He slandered God. God knows that if you take this, Eve, and you eat this fruit, you're going to be like him. He doesn't want that. Slander. And he still slanders. And it doesn't matter how holy you may be and how good you may be. Believe me, someone somewhere is willing to be used by the devil to slander you. Verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Faith in God's goodness and trust in His word may not remove your problems. But faith in God's goodness and trust in His word will help you to function until your problem is gone. It keeps you from fainting, from quitting. 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In other words, hang in there with God. Don't quit. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't quit believing His word. It's because you don't see it come to pass right away. Don't quit believing His word. He cannot lie. His word is proven true. And don't quit believing that He's using all things together to work for your spiritual good in the long run. Don't quit believing that. And that'll help you to hang in there. Well, someone says, well, I'm not interested in long-term spiritual good. I'm interested in short-term physical good right now. Well, sorry, but I can't help you. And you need help, believe me. Because anybody who would say that needs to repent. Because that's just the wrong attitude. And if you're saved, you're going to realize it. I'm not saying your flesh doesn't want short-term good. Even if you're saved, I'm not saying your flesh doesn't want short-term good. Mine does. But we both know that's the wrong attitude to have. And we both know that we're in the flesh, not in the spirit, when we have that attitude. Chapter 28, Psalm 28, verse 1. Another Psalm of David. Unto you will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like them who go down into the pit. David would rather be dead than to live without hearing God. God, don't be silent to me, whatever. Please talk to me, even if you're just going to read the yellow pages. Nothing could possibly be worse for one who has tasted fellowship with God than to be cut off from that fellowship with God. That's the worst part of a sin for a Christian. That's the worst part of the sin for me when I commit sin, is I know I'm cut off from God's fellowship. That's just empty, miserable. 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy place. And, you know, he's in the habit of telling God what he needs. Of course, God already knows what we need, but he still wants us to talk to him about it. He still wants us to pray because There's profit in the process of praying. We draw closer to Him. We're also reminded that we're dependent on Him. That's why He has us pray. Give us this day our daily bread, even if we have a freezer full of food. 3. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. In other words, don't group me in with those who love evil. David did evil, but he did not love evil, and he did not continue in it. And that's one of the differences between a saved and an unsaved person. A saved person can sin 100 times a day, but they're going to repent, and they're not going to want to stay in it. They may have to battle to stay out of it, but they will battle because they don't like it. Verse 4, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. And God will, because He is just. God will definitely, because He is fair. That's why I don't want what is fair. I never pray, God, give me what is fair. My goodness, because if I get what's fair, I'm going to be burning in hell in the next second. I need God's mercy through Jesus Christ so that He doesn't give me what is fair. That's what I need. 5. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up. Final destruction awaits evil people who hurt God and hurt others. You hear me? Final destruction awaits those who hurt other people, God's people, and then, as a result, dishonor God. Final destruction awaits them. That is a promise to their victims. That is a warning to those doing the hurting. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplications. You know, verses 1 through 5 in this psalm, they were a prayer. Starting with verse 6, it shifts to praise. Blessed be the Lord. He just finished praying, and now He's praising. If we pray right, we're going to praise much. If we pray according to God's will, He's going to give us the desires of our heart, and that's exciting, and then we can thank God for that. And we can praise Him. It stirs us up to praise. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. And what does the Bible say here? God is my strength and my shield, and He is your strength and your shield too, if you're a Christian. He's your shield. If we knew all the arrows that the devil shot our way, and how many times we've had close calls with death and trouble and suffering, if we knew, I'm convinced we would be on our face in perpetual praise to Almighty God for His protection. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. God isn't just the strength of a few high-profile men and women of God like David. He is the strength of all His people. He is your strength. He is my strength. None of us lives without the help of God. None of us lives without the strength that God gives us. We all need it. We all receive it. Whether we appreciate it or not, or realize it or not, that's the truth. We could not take another breath apart from the enabling grace of Almighty God. And then notice verse 9. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Why don't you try inserting your name where it says your people and where it says your heritage? Because it's talking to you. If you're a Christian, then you're one of God's people. If you're a Christian, you're part of His heritage. So save your people. Put your name in there. Save you and bless your inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. David's prayer is for you. Right here, he's praying for you. Thousands of years ago, he prayed this prayer for you. For all of God's people. Very important to pray for God's people. All of God's people. not just us or those that we know personally. It's good to pray for the general needs of the total body of Christ, because we are all connected. And what affects me affects you if you're a Christian. And what affects you, believe me, it affects me too. We're all connected. If we're all walking with the Lord, we're all blessed more. Well, you know what? I think I'll stop. I was going to try to go through Psalm 29, but I think I've gone far enough for today. Give you enough to think about. If you're in the Wausau area, you can catch Scripture Verse by Verse Radio Tuesday through Friday on 93.3 FM at 9 a.m. From 9 a.m. till 9:30, Scripture Verse by Verse Radio Tuesday through Friday. On Monday, my son Aaron and I have begun a new program. We've only done it twice, but we've begun a new program. It lasts an hour from 9 until 10 on Monday morning. And I think, tune in, you'll have a good time if you like sports. The name of our program on Monday morning from 9 until 10 is called More Than a Game. And we talk sports, and we talk life, and we talk Bible, and we talk Jesus, and it all blends together. It becomes more than a game. And we have a good time, and I think it's informative. I think it is enjoyable. And we throw in thoughts from the Bible, too, and how sports relates to life and to God. So tune us in, 93.3 FM in Wausau, 9 o'clock, Monday morning. Tuesday through Friday, I'm on with Scripture Verse by Verse Radio, going verse by verse, just like I do here. It's 93.3 FM in Wausau. If you get any questions for me or comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you would prefer to email, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, you can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. That can be found at BibleCommentaries.us. That's BibleCommentaries.us. You can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries, BibleCommentaries.us. And if you're looking for a place to worship this weekend, come and join us. We meet at on Saturday nights, not on Sunday mornings anymore, but Saturday nights at 5 o'clock we have our service. And it lasts about 50 minutes, maybe 55 minutes at the most. But I'm telling you, it is jammed. It is jammed with Jesus. There is no downtime. There is no wasted time. If you like programs, if you like committees, if you like church meetings, then don't bother coming. But if you just want the pure Word of God, verse by verse, and you want to go home and live your life and live it out, then I think you'll like our worship service, because that's basically what it is. It's straight to the point, and it's only 50 minutes maybe, but like I said, there's no waste of time. Verse by verse teaching, some music, and communion, Holy Communion as well. So join us this Sunday, or this Saturday night. I keep saying Sunday. Saturday night at 5 o'clock at Island Place. Island Place, Oak Island in Wausau. That's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, Island Place, Oak Island in Wausau. Until next week, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.